independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Everyone started sort of walking and questioning, and then suddenly, because we could see the whole arena, we saw everyone on the bottom floor screaming, running, like shouting, trying to get out of the way as quickly as possible.
That right there is witness last night, Manchester. People thinking, going crazy and everything like that.
You know, horrible incident. Again, a crime, a terrorist act. It's not a workplace violence or anything like that. It was an act of terror, and it should be treated as such. Theresa May's come out. The British have basically said, look, we are at the top level of the security advisory that we give out towards whether or not we think there's a threat that may or may not come and attack us again. We are there. We are absolutely there. It was a, you know, I mean, you know, I was trying to explain to somebody that you have young kids going to this thing. For a good portion of these, this was the first concert they'd ever been to in their life. And Britain's not, you know, without tragedy and without, you know, incidents that have taken place. Some of them terrorist activity, some of them just horrible situations. Harken back some 25 years ago and the Hillsborough accident. Soccer game. They let too many people into a stand back in the day when they used to have the fences around there. Lots of people died. But it's about keeping things in perspective. But if you're at that concert last night, you take your daughter, right? You know, you take your kids and you go to this thing, trying to explain to them what took place, because they're going to have questions, right? They're going to have questions. When incidents like this happen, you know, Jack's mom will say, can you explain to him, you know, what took place? And you know, you explain that, look, really bad people, very bad people, who buy into a bad ideology that is twisted. And I'm not talking about the everyday average Muslim. I'm talking about people who take the Wahhabi style and that take this crazy hardline lunacy, and they twist it and they tell people to go out and do bad things to good people because it gets their attention. And that's what happened. And we should talk about it to our kids. We should talk about it to our friends. We should talk about it to everybody. There should be a dialogue. We shouldn't be afraid to talk about things. And in this country, because of the political correctness, because of the climate that we're in, there is a lot of times that people are afraid to talk about these kind of incidents. Because everybody's worried about being labeled something. We can't do that. This is the world we live in. Right? If there's a bunch of sharks in the water, do you say there's a bunch of sharks in the water? Or do you say, no, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to hurt the fish's feelings? Well, no, that's just stupid. Well, there you go. You see something, you say something in life. It's not about hurting feelings. Those sharks may be harmless, right? They may even be porpoises or dolphins. But you saw a fin, you said something. We can't do that nowadays. People are afraid. Well, I don't want to be accused of something. I don't want to be considered an Islamophobic or a racist. I don't want to be accused of those things. Lady in San Bernardino who lived next door to the shooters. She saw stuff happening. She was a bit worried. She saw more stuff happening. She was a bit worried. But when they came to her and they said, why didn't you do anything? She says, well, I don't want to be a racist. Oh, okay. So that's what we're doing now. We're going to allow the color of somebody's skin or the ideology that they worship to let them get away with anything they want to get away with because we don't want to be branded as something, regardless of whether or not what they're doing is wrong. That's crap. That's absolute crap. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the show, John Quinones on ABC, What Would You Do? And they did this experiment. And I thought, you know, they put everybody in experiments. You know, they take people to a bar and people will pretend they're on the first date. And they'll be, you know, they're chatting with the people next to them. Girl gets up to go to the bathroom. The guy throws sugar in there but pretends it's drugs. And you know, people react? What would you do? Well, in one scenario, they had an open house. And in the open house, they had white people, they had Asian people, they had Hispanic people, and they had black people. And in this, people would come in and they would steal stuff to see how people would react, knowing full well it's not their house, but they're robbing the house and to see how people react. And when the people that were actors, the black actors, came and they would steal stuff, nobody would say anything. And then they asked the people afterwards, well, why didn't you say anything? And their reaction is, well, we didn't want to be racist. Well, wait a minute here. They're committing a crime and that's racism? Have you lost your mind? If you see something, you say something. I would rather be wrong and have somebody says you're an Islamophobic or you're whatever than not say something and then sleep at night if I can, knowing that because I didn't act or I didn't say something, that people lost their lives or got hurt. You see something and you feel uncomfortable, you go with it, you say something. If you feel like, hey, I feel uncomfortable in this situation, you say something. If somebody wants to brand you as something, it is what it is. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat@chatbensonshow.com. The budget is rolling on out slowly but surely. People are staring at it, looking at it, going, what is this about? This is their budget. What is it about? What's in it? What's not in it? I love Mick Mulvaney talking about the budget. He's the guy that's basically the budget czar. That's the best way to describe him. And by the way, Trump has told him essentially, here's what I want in the budget. He said, okay, he goes to town. They look at it. They do the whole nine yards. And he says, now you go sell it to the American people.
The Office of Management and Budget Director Mick Mulvaney said, we're no longer going to measure compassion by the number of programs or the number of people on those programs, not by how big those are, but we're going to measure compassion success by the number of people we help to get off of those programs and back in charge of their own lives. Some self-sufficiency there.
I love that. That's the way we should be measuring these programs, right? We should measure these things based on people getting off of them. It's a hand up, not a hand out. It's not forever. That's the way these things should be looked at. It's not forever. But all too often, it ends up being that way for a lot of people. Too many people are on these programs, and these programs also don't tend to work long term. I love it. But you see, if you get all these, the goal should be to get everybody off these programs so you no longer need. That should be the goal, is to eradicate the need for the government to help you. You think the government wants that? The government doesn't want that. You're not a voter. You're not a citizen. You're a customer. They don't want to get rid of the customer. If they got rid of the customer, what's the need for them? They need to be needed. I love the compassionate side of things. Is why don't we try to see if we can help people get off their ass and get out of here and not be, you know, held essentially hostage by these bizarre things and you know, that like, hey, you can't work because if you work, you're going to lose this, that, and the other. And you don't want to lose that, do you? So why work, right? How about we say, hey, what can we do to get you off this so you no longer need this and you no longer need our help? That should be very important. Too often it's not, though. Because you aren't a voter, you're not a constituent, you're not an American citizen, you're a customer. And too many of these duplicate crazy agencies that fail with very, very, very little repercussions for their failures, nobody's ever held responsible for their failures, that don't work, they continue to get funded, they continue to get money, and they continue to get customers. How about a little compassion? Is let's see if we can take some people from the bottom and get them in the middle. The people in the middle, move them to the top. How about that? 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat@chatbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Sooner or later. In fact, I was just talking to my uncle, who's one of my best friends in the world, business partners. We do stuff together. He just texted me not 20-plus minutes ago, and he's like, dude, the car died. And I'm like, dude. He goes, yeah. Yeah. We just finished signing the lease for the new place, and the car died, and I was making a left-hand turn. And what are you doing? He goes, what do you think I'm doing? I said, Car Shield. Bam. What is Car Shield, you say? Car Shield is the best in extended coverage. Car Shield protects the thing that gets you to and fro, dare I say. Extended coverage from Car Shield gives you VIP treatment with Car Shield, which means 24/7 roadside assistance, which means when your car breaks down, if it does, it goes in the shop, you will get a rental car to make sure you always have an opportunity to get to and fro as well while your car is being fixed. And by the way, you pick your mechanic. You don't have to take it to a place they say. No, you pick your mechanic, the one you trust. They'll deal with the mechanic directly, so you don't have to front anything. They'll take care of it. Car Shield and their administrators pay close to $2 billion in claims, and they're ready to help you. Save yourself thousands of potential car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate and extended vehicle service protection before it's too late. Call 800-CAR-6100. That's 800-CAR-6100. Mention code Benson or visit carshield.com and use code Benson to save 10%. That's carshield.com. Code Benson. A deductible may apply. What's next? Next, Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
What's next when it comes to terrorism here in these here United States, oh, America? Truth is that we're in a situation that we're going to see something similar happen here. Soft target. It's about outrage. It's about anger. But how do we get past this? And by that, I mean, it's going to happen, people. Sounds horrible to say, but it's going to happen. But what we can't do is we cannot allow that to stop us from doing the things that we love, from robbing us of our freedom. What's next for terror in America is lots of lone wolf attacks. By lots, I mean a few a year. Some will be bigger than others. Some will be one-off incidents that don't go the way the terrorist thinks, and they're put down before they injure anybody. But we live in a world now where this, unfortunately, is somewhat of a norm for the Western world. When you have diversity, when you have things like we have in this country, and the freedoms we have, there are going to be incidents like this. What's next for terror? It's here. And it's up to us to figure out how we deal with it, not only when it's happening, but afterwards. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can always call the program and text us as well, 323-538-2423. Jim, Indy, what's happening, man?
Hey, Chad. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, brother.
Good. So here's kind of where I'm at. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. But you're probably going to think I'm like kind of a radical nut, which I don't think I am, but maybe I am. I don't know. So here's the problem is that with you talk about radical terror, radical Islam, and really there's only Islam, and Islam is not a peaceful religion. Now, that's not to say they're not peaceful Muslims. There are, but Islam is not a peaceful religion. And the guys who are doing all this crazy stuff, they're just following the Quran and the history of what Muhammad did and what Islam has done down through the ages. And
you know, Jim, there's a lot in the Quran that combats a lot of what people pull out. Pick, you know, it's like sound bites, man. We could take something, we could pull it out. But no, I mean, what they're doing is they people like the we got to jump. We got a couple other calls we're going to jump on. I appreciate that. What people do in the world of Islam, it's not they radicalize a certain sect. We have Baptists, we have Nazarene, they have theirs, right? They have Sunni, they have Shia, they have different sects, and they have this Wahhabism, and they also have a political side of it, which is the Sharia side. So there's a lot of different ways that you can look at this. And he's right. Look, there's most 90% of them are peaceful and want no part of this. 3% of them may act on it, but 7% may be fine that they do. That's the scary thing. Daryl and Callie.
Yeah. I think he asked a different question about somebody stealing something. What would you do? And I think that it's a good question because it almost ties into the Islam that we're seeing coming out and doing crazy things where nobody's saying anything about it as far as we can hear. You know, and there's a risk. There's a risk if somebody's stealing someone else's TV and you say something, they could say, forget the TV and smash that over your head and not even care about it. And not to mention that also the law these days is very dangerous as far as what you can do to protect someone else's property or even yourself or someone else. It's
absolutely, Daryl. I appreciate your call, man. We got to jump. And you know what? Look, here's the thing. I'm a go with it gut kind of guy. A couple weeks ago, I saw somebody in a car. He was slumped over. His head was against the steering wheel. It's kind of hot outside. People were walking by. I was there and I knocked on the window. He woke up. He was kind of, but you know what? I'd rather say, that guy, I pissed him off because he was taking a nap, than if he was in trouble and I didn't do anything. If your gut says do something, do something. There is no second chances in terror. The Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
I had unresolved questions in my mind as to whether or not the Russians had been successful in getting U.S. persons involved in the campaign or not to work on their behalf.
John Brennan right there. Man, he's exciting. Super exciting. Not that that kind of stuff is super exciting, but he's a former, former CIA director, and here's a guy who's, you know, people are saying, well, look, you know, they contacted the Trump campaign. Well, did you find any? Well, I know they did, and the Democrats are like, well, we really haven't found anything, but we still think something's there, and it's there's other things to worry about, right? We got a budget that they're going to work on. Right. We've got all those things done last week that Paul Ryan was talking about. I love the training thing that Paul Ryan talked about last week, how they're trying to close the skill gaps, trying to get people more into technology and to push them in a different direction and get them out of that mindset of being manufacturer person. Right. Getting them out of that mindset. So there's a huge field that has opened up where people cannot employ people because there's nobody there to employ, even though they need them. I have a job. Where is it? It's right there. Can you find anybody? I can't find anybody. Takes effort, though. Takes a little risk. Takes a step back. People, it's tough for people to do. It really is. It really is. And I don't, you know, it's like, we go through this stuff. I get in, I do my show. We go through all this stuff. We've got hundreds of sound bites that we go through each and every day. Things we talk about. God knows how many things we read between the three of us. Read so much. You know, Anthony and I are reading all kinds of stories from the LA Times, New York Times, The Post, you know. You name it, we're reading it someplace. We're going through all kinds of things. Talking about Phil's reading Hollywood Wives, and he's calling us every once in a while going, my God, did you see page 20 on Hollywood Wives? It's amazing. Right? But we're doing stuff, right? We put it out there. We work hard. We look at stuff. And for the life of me, I just can't get this entire Flynn, all of it just bores me. There is nothing here that I find to be at all interesting or appealing. There isn't. You'll hear all the other talking heads talk about it. You'll hear all the other talking heads drone on about it. You'll hear all the talking heads. I just can't do it. I just can't. I you know, I mean, when there's some there, yeah, okay. But right now, no. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. He looks a little Rodney McDowell-ish, doesn't he? Flynn? A little Rodney McDowell? Just a bit. Schmidge? Smidge, people are like, go look Roddy McDowell. You guys, oh yeah, I could see that. I could definitely, I see a little Roddy there. That's what I'm saying. Just a bit. People texting me about the budget saying, I like the compassion of the budget. The CNBC article that I read about the budget, I thought it was great, talking about Americans aren't really ready to hear the truth. And the truth is this budget, while some will say it's harsh, in many ways is not harsh enough. Because it needs to be. We need some austerity. We need to pull it back a little bit. We need to push the plate away, you know, just a bit. We do. We just like, just push it just a little bit. Just push the plate a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. There isn't. I think we can all stand for some. Look, I'm a very cheap guy anyways, in a lot of ways. I don't spend a ton of money. Kind of live, you know, very frugally. When you got a nation living paycheck to paycheck, you know what our country isn't? They never live paycheck to paycheck because it ain't their money. So you spend it like you're going out of style. You just spend. What are you doing? Spending other people's money. Well, that sounds great. Well, it isn't yours, so what do you care? You know, I live in California, the insanity of California. I read an article. And, you know, they're flirting around with the idea here in California of having a single payer system, right? So they're flirting around with this idea of having a single payer system. So they rolled out the cost of it finally yesterday afternoon, and it is double the budget of the budget of California. We're the fifth largest or sixth largest economy in the world. And it's double that budget. It's unsustainable at that insanity that they want here. That's it. Could you imagine that? Could you double it? So think about it. If somebody wants a single payer system across the board. Now, in saying that, the cost is $400 billion. We already spent about $100 to $150 billion already towards healthcare. But we'd still have to double that. And as I was trying to tell people, okay, fine. Let's blanket this out across the country. Are you ready to lose 50% of your paycheck and survive? Your bills stay the same, by the way. Your nut stays the same. It doesn't get any smaller. So are you ready to have 40 to 60% of your paycheck, depending on the tax bracket you're in? And again, everybody's going to be. Are you ready to have that? That's a question you need to ask yourself. It's like, are you at that point where you're ready for that? Are you ready? So say you make 10 grand a month. Are you ready to take home $4,500? Healthcare is free, though, but you're also captured in that system. And if you decide to go buy healthcare, you're still having your money taken out. You're just taking that money and buying healthcare. Let's say between you and your wife or your husband, each of you take home $3,500 to $4,000 a month. Are you ready between the two of you, instead of taking home eight, to take home $4,500? Why would one of you work at that point in time? I mean, that's the question you have to ask yourself. California's like, yeah, we should try this. I'm like, are you insane? Plus, if you give it away, right? What do you think's going to happen? Screw if you build it. If you give it away, they're going to come. If you give it to everybody, everybody's showing up. Look at the baseball games, right? Look at the attendance. 16,000, 14,000, 12,000. Hey, there's 43,000 here. Why? It's bobblehead night. We're giving something free away. Everybody wants to show up a bobblehead night. I'm getting a bobblehead of whoever, right? If you're the A's fan, you're getting 1977 or 1974, throwback uniforms, Reggie Jackson. Oh, my God. You know, complete with the white cleats and the whole nine yards. Oh, yeah. Last night we had 12,000 here. Tonight we have 37,000. Why is that? Because we're giving stuff away for free. If you give it away, people will show up. Maybe do it once. Can't do it consistently. You go broke. Not going to happen. If you give it away, people show up. That's what America wants, though, right? America wants. Somebody just texted me and says, that's the Democratic way, right, is to buy votes. Yeah. That's why the Dems are out so hard against this budget, because it cuts programs. Mick Mulvaney's right. The compassionate thing to do is to get people off programs and to get people self-sustaining their life without the intervention or help from the government. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. But if you do that, then, hey, I have news for you. Here's a great thing. Here's Batman. He lives in Gotham. There's no crime. Who is he now? It's Bruce Wayne. There's no need for Batman. There won't there to be a need. Government can talk about, well, we want to get people off these programs all they want. No, you don't. You want an existence. And your existence and who you are is based on the fact that there's people who need you. Who need you. That's crazy. Never even thought of it like that. Of course you haven't. Most people don't. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad@ChadBensonShow.com. You could text the program 323-538-2423. Venezuela, I said the other day, at some point in time, I remember this, producer Phil, I said this, Trump is going to get blamed for all of the stuff that's going on in Venezuela. And Maduro came out and said, Trump, it's his fault that this thing's going to hell. That is why you don't give stuff away, people. That's the perfect example of what will happen when you take away and you give to other people. Venezuela is the prime example. It's not about making other people better. It's about buying their votes and placating them. That's it. It's not about making them better. I always say, if you want to go to the inner city and you want to give them money, be prepared to go back next year and give them more money for whatever program. But if you want to stop coming back there because people are changing their lives for the better, then you go there and you bring the knowledge with them on how you do things and how you make money and how you succeed and how you can fish for yourself. And after a while, there'll be no need for you. But politicians are human beings. Human beings have egos. Human beings want to be wanted. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
Say what? Picture this. You and your grandma, you're garage sailing, right? In England, they call it car boot sales or maybe going to a swap meet. So you go out there and you're having yourself a good time and grandma says, oh, I like this. It's a nice looking ring. And it's 13 bucks, right? You're like, oh, grandma, let me get that for you. 13 bucks. Grandma throws it on her finger. She thinks it's great. It's costume jewelry. Years later, Grandma's worn this thing all over the place, right? She's banged it on stuff. She's had all kinds of good stuff. She's loaned it to her friends. She's had all that stuff, right? A friend of hers says, hey, Grandma, let me look at that for a second. All right. She goes and she looks at it. What do you think? Just a cheap piece of jewelry brought a car boot sale. I think you should go have this thing appraised. No. You know, just take it to a jeweler. Humor me, Grandma. Grandma says, okay, I'll do it. Then Grandma goes and she comes back and her jaw's on the floor because the jeweler says it's worth about $500,000. At least that's where they'll probably start the bidding at Sotheby's because it's about, what, 27-ish carats? Not bad. But Grandma's been walking around with it for 35 years, banging it on stuff. All the while, you're struggling, and you bought the damn thing for Grandma. Oh, my God, I love this. What happened to a lady in England? She bought herself a ring for $13, her and her family, and thought it was funny. Thought it was just costume jewelry. 26-plus carat diamond ring is going to go on the auction block June 7th at Sotheby's. They believe it's going to fetch somewhere in the realm of $460,000 to about $600,000, give or take, because you never know. People start bidding on stuff. It goes a little crazy. Somebody's got to have some. That Basquiat painting last week, they went for $110 million. You don't know who Basquiat is? Read a book. But he was a graffiti artist that became an artist with the helps of Andy Warhol. And, man, that's $110 million. $110 million. I think his name was Samo. That was his graffiti name. People would, like, he would just do a little art and put Samo on it, and then people rip the doors off of where they wrote, and they'd sell it to galleries. Because you just never know, right? And, art's one of those things where I don't know if it's good or not, you know? I mean, it's viral, right? It's like, what makes something go viral? I don't know. Well, what makes this art great compared to that art? I don't know. Very few of us know, right? If you're thinking about what drugs are safest, producer Phil, if you're thinking about, is it the weed? Is it this, that, and the other? Well, according to a new study coming out of Great Britain, it's mushrooms. Mushrooms are the safest of all drugs that people take recreationally, according to the new global survey on drugs. Of the more than 12,000 people who've reported taking, I don't even want to say it. I'm going to try it, though. Psilocybin hallucinogenic mushrooms in 2016, just 0.2% of them said they needed emergency medical treatment, a rate at least five times lower than MDMA, LSD, and cocaine. Magic mushrooms, one of the safest drugs in the world, said Adam Winstock, a consultant addiction psychiatrist, who found the global drug survey, pointing out that the bigger risk was people picking and eating the wrong types of mushrooms, which, by the way, again, doesn't happen with weed. Like there's, you know, but weed's got the synthetic stuff. That's what everybody's going after, synthetic, because they want a different kind of high. The global drug survey 2017, which almost had 120,000 participants in 50 countries, is the world's biggest annual drug survey. And it talks to and covers all types of substance people take, patterns of use, whether they experience any negative effects. Overall, 28,000 people said they had taken magic mushrooms at some point in their lives, with 81.7% seeking a moderate psychedelic experience, an enhancement of environmental and social interactions. So there is that. So if you're thinking weed, maybe not. And finally, say what? The NFL's got their head out of their butt. Producer Phil, get ready for this one, as you and I both love thine sport called the NFL. No more flags for dancing in the end zone. No more flags. Yeah. No more flags for putting together a routine. No more flags for slamming the ball. No more flags for all you can't do is make a violent gesture. So you can't use the, you know, as the cut the knife across the neck or use the gun as a bomb. I mean, the ball is a bomb or something, or is a gun. You can't do that. But everything else now is, boom, they're going to allow benign celebrations, they call them, that entertain the fans and allow the players to have a sense of individuality and creativity, which is good. I think people got sick and tired of it. We like the fact that, you know, a guy scores a touchdown. We're like, well, it makes the other guy feel bad. Well, maybe the other guy should do his job, and then that guy wouldn't score a touchdown. How about that? There's that. So finally, we're going to get some creativity and fun. It's no longer the No Fun League anymore. The Chad Benson Show. The Chad Benson Show is like football. The NFL. .com. Go to there. No, The Chad Benson Show is your Facebook. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. I like the NFL's doing this. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. You can text the program always 323-538-2423. We've got a couple polls up. One about ISIS. We'll get to that a little later. We've got one also about the budget. You can check both those polls up at Chad Benson Show, and feel free to always email us, chad@chadbensonshow.com, and check out chadbensonshow.com. Anthony does a great job on the site. We got all kinds of stuff. You can grab your podcast from there as well. So Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.